Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse un 14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo. Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
La Biblia.
Yo te tribo. Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. God got me shining like the sun. I ain't always shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't feel your body.
Jesucristo is moreno. Jesucristo.
Fate bring.
Yeah.
We be so fly, I think we got wings. Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king.
Yeah.
I like the suspense, leave them guessing. Pay them losing no mind, why you stressing? Devil always trying, he be testing. But Father steady raining down the blessings. Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair. Natural style, rock it anywhere. Fashion unlocked, people gotta stare. You ain't usual, now you something rare. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. You know you styling, and you know you fly. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. Praises to the Father, to the Most High.
We not stay still like ice in a freezer. Who not drink tequila, I sip margarita. Don't stay behind, get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista.
Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance, till you can't be your boss. Jesucristo
Cristo
is moreno.
Jesucristo Cristo
no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo. Baila mis hermanos. Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo. Baila mis hermanos.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to the Latin Hispanic Black Lost History Show. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Another radio show here that we're bringing out to wake up our people. Today, had Captain Yashua just doing some technical stuff here. He just joined us back now, so I'll pass it back on to him.
Shalom, shalom. Thanks, Cap. Most High Christ bless everybody. Native Latin and Black Lost History Show here. I'm Captain Yashua. Captain Aparium, open up with the lead. We also have
Officer Amariah. Shalom, all signed. Christ bless.
Soldier Gam Leo. Christ bless Israel.
All right. All praises. Some housekeeping. Call in numbers 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. You can also catch us on our live stream on the Native Latin and Black Lost History page on Facebook. And, you know, over the past few weeks, we were talking about Puerto Rico quite a bit. Last week, we were in San Diego, so we figured out a way to take the show on the road. So we have a nice little mobile setup. So even if we're out there ministering and in different camps and we have to bring the show with us, we can bring the show on the road and still bring you pertinent information and discussion on our lost history and what it means for our people today. So that was actually a pretty cool setup with that. That was the first time I used the mic, like, you know, on the Blog Talk.
Yeah, technology.
Yeah, right. I think it picked up pretty good for the most part. I mean, you know, obviously not as good as when your mouse right up on a mic.
Right.
But not too bad.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. Just like you said, it's nice to have that ability to be able to go live anywhere.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. You know, just need the internet connection and that mic and
right.
And we're good to go. We were fortunate to have both Captain Zeph and Bishop Nathaniel. It's always great to have him involved in the show. I'm going to look to sprinkle him in there every now and then. I got to show him how to do it. But with the Blog Talk platform, we're able to, he can co-host even from.
So you got to tune in each week because you never know when he's going to pop.
Hey, right. You never know. Yeah, right. You'll find out the morning of or the day before. Right. And then I know some people got confused. They erroneously thought that he was here in Phoenix again. He loves me, not that much.
Swerve. Miss me with that one.
Yeah, right?
Even though if he would have listened, he would have known that you guys were in San Diego.
Right. You know. Well, you know what it is, man?
Attention to detail.
They're trying to get the big dogs. They think they're worthy of the big dogs. But just like the debate, the Christian debate, you know, we were remiss in bringing out the nuclear weapons. We brought the left and the right. Okay. And after that first day, both bishops were like, a novice can handle this stuff.
Right.
These people are supposed to be like the most whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, and understand that debate was done with those black Christian pastors, so-called black Christian pastors, because that was an opportunity to be edifying to our people.
Our people.
To bring them out. Right. And I thank you for the emphasis. To bring out to our people, okay, bring them out of that deep sleep that they're in. So that was what that opportunity was.
And you know, Sankar, I was thinking this morning on the way over here, I said, you know, and we know this, but it just, things come up and it just goes deeper, you know, it just goes back into your brain. To the other nations, nowhere in the Bible.
Exactly.
His message was never to the other nation. Never.
Hey, can I get that? I ever taught in the synagogue?
Never.
John.
This is where I don't understand where, listen, 18, no, 20. We're not talking with any of the other nations because it's to naught.
In the spirit, bro. In the spirit.
It's to naught. There's no reason for it. I'm driving into it. Not only today, but earlier in the week, I'm thinking of this. I said, Christ, show me in the scriptures where he spoke about getting everlasting life to the other nations.
Yeah.
Right. You got these other nations that are always seeking to engage us in a debate, something like that. This book ain't for you.
Right.
It says it in many, many places. It's not for the other nation.
And now there's a place for you and there's things for you in the kingdom of heaven, all right, under Christ with the Israelites. But that is going to be a similar setup to what you had us in and where we are going to teach you. You're not going to be able to read that scripture. We're going to show you what you need to do
and
how to keep God's laws subjection.
Right, because remember, John Hyrcanus, when he defeated the Arabs, okay, the Edomites had a choice.
Right.
Either die or you're going to follow our customs.
Right.
Which is how they know our customs.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
One of the ways.
Right.
All right. And that's how, and again, I went over this closing a piece of tabernacle, not to digress, but that's how Maryam married, okay, one of the Levites. And that's how supposedly, that's why the Jewish people, mm-hmm. the Ashkenazis, if you're German, Ashkenazis, hint, okay, why they claim their lineage from the mom.
Right. When you read the 13th tribe, it tells you that's another way that it, you know, and you're going to have people that are academics and they're going to discredit that book. But, you know, I remember when we interviewed the professor. Don't let me lose this thought on John and, mm-hmm. and why we're going to bring this mm-hmm. out, because based on what he said, when we're dealing with our people, okay? Just remember, the thought is that Christ never taught the other nations.
Right.
When we dealt with Professor Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, yep.
Okay, over there in Puerto Rico, you know, the professor of archaeology who had had those stones that they found in Puerto Rico that had
mm-hmm. The Hebrew writings on
yes,
it.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll say unconfirmed for those stickers on,
for the
you know.
Stickers.
But he gave us some insight, and part of what he said and what stood out to me, and this can really go across any discipline in academia, all right? Academia.
Tomato, apologetics.
Yeah, well,
tomato,
you know,
tomato.
Yeah,
potato,
all,
potato.
All
revelation, revelations.
Yeah, all that stuff. He says they can be very dogmatic in the scientific community, mm-hmm. in the community of academia. The other term is sacred cows, right? A sacred cow is something that even though you know there's stuff that's coming out, there's information that, you know, it's probably not the most accurate thing anymore. It's sacred to that discipline. It's sacred to that department, that study of academia, and it's hard for them to let that stuff go. Kind of like the whole Bering Strait theory.
Right.
Even though there's evidence and new stuff that shows that's out there, the scientific community by and large won't accept
it. They're starting
like
to
that.
Let it go, though.
Yeah, little by little.
So, Cap, what you're saying is they treat it like a religion.
Yes, yes. And I've gone over that on Passion. Were you here for that when we went over that show? And I was saying politics is religion, all these things are religion.
I do believe I was.
Yeah, because First Maccabees, in the book of First Maccabees, it tells you that, you know, when Antiochus came into power, he talks about his politics, and he says many of the Israelites subscribe to his religion. So all these different things. So best, and when you use the term dogmatic, you tend to think religion
mm-hmm.
versus science. But it's not the case. Their religion is their science. Right, their religion is their academia.
Right, because they hold on to that religion.
Right.
We already established comes from the root word religio, which means to control, to keep, to have to
right.
hold on to.
Right,
so
right.
it's a belief system.
It is a belief system. That would be the correct modern day way to look at religion. It's a belief system. Mm. Paul talks about the religion of the Jews, meaning the laws. All right, so it's a belief system. So I say that to say, a lot of people won't let other things come in. They hold on to these things. They have these sacred things that they put that they put on. So no matter what type of evidence is presented, you're not going to win people like that over, right? And you got to remember, the gospel was primarily set up for our people, okay? So it's for them to understand it, all right? When you read Psalms 148, it talks about how the statutes and judgments were given to Jacob, right? And he didn't deal that way with any other nation. You read Romans 3, and it says unto the Jews chiefly, because unto them mm-hmm. were given the oracles. Mm-hmm. All right, there's many scriptures that talk to you about what separates us. You read in the book of Deuteronomy where it says, "This is your wisdom in the sight of the nations," to Moses. Okay,
they call us a peculiar people. The Most High calls us.
He calls us
because
peculiar.
We're different from all the other nations.
Right, right.
So meaning we have nothing to do
set
with
apart.
You.
Set
right.
apart.
Right. So why would we even talk with you?
Right. So there's no profit in having discussions, right, or strivings on those things, you know, because then you have some groups that they try to pull, you know, you have to be defenders of the gospel. Yeah, to people that you could convince the game. When you read in Tyrus right. and it says convince the gainsayers, there's no convincing somebody who this was not meant for. In the book of Wisdom of Solomon, it tells you the Holy Spirit of discipline will flee deceit. It cannot enter into a malicious soul, okay? The Holy Spirit will not enter into a malicious soul. And if it's not designed for that soul, it can't reside in there. It's
right.
kind of like my son has the little blocks. You know, the square is not going to go in the circle, mm-hmm. all right, no matter what you do.
No matter
and
what
they
do.
Try to do is their way of trying to make the square fit the circle is they whittle down the square and they try to carve it out. But you can tell that it wasn't originally like that.
Right.
Right. Anybody who has sense that knows how the pieces fit together.
It's not going to be perfect.
Huh? It's not. Yes, it's not. You know, so it's like they're trying to kind of. Just like they do with anything else, right? They're trying to violence their way in. They're trying to push their way in.
That's how they violence their way into the Bible and slavery.
Right,
that's
right.
They're using scriptures that had nothing to do that were out of context.
Right, right.
Obey your masters.
So, So Bishop makes a comment because I guess we had some of these some of the fan club.
It is a fan club.
It is a fan club.
I like that.
You know, people want to get a name off our coattails. You know, if they really believed in God, they'd understand that this isn't anything that we're doing, that a man is doing. This is all guided by the Spirit. And the alarming thing that these groups are concerned about is our growth. And they'll talk about it's because of the way we're in the street and where that. Guess what? You know why your groups can't emulate that? Because the Spirit of God is not with them. It's the Spirit
That
makes a man leave his family, his children, and go to another country that he's never gone to before to preach this gospel for a week, 2 weeks. It's the Spirit of God that sends a man every weekend, every other weekend, whatever it is, out to preach this gospel to the scattered Israelites that are all over the world. All right?
The ghettos, where are people?
And guess what? It's not burdensome. Yeah, in a carnal sense, sure. Do you miss your family? Absolutely. But it's not burdensome. It's joyful when we go out to minister this truth. That's why we're able to be so emboldened. That's what faith does. Christ said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So what's lacking in your groups is not trying to say, oh, we need to do what they do with their urban ministry. No. We're just applying the scriptures where it says get to the highways and byways. If you were really about the scriptures, then all these millennia that you had teaching lies, you would have put yourself in a position where you would be, okay, in the chief places of concourse. But instead, you tried to steal a heritage like you've done historically.
Right.
Because I'm going to go over that a little bit today in class, just a little bit. The class is really about us and repentance. But we're going to talk about how that spirit of Cain, which was Esau before the flood, all right, who the world ignorantly calls the Caucasian man, okay? The scripture says he would be a fugitive and a vagabond. A vagabond has no real identity. They steal other people's,
right?
Okay? A fugitive is someone who has yet to serve his sentence. So they are fugitive from the law. So it's not surprising that historically, because the original Jews were Greek, were black, and I'm not saying Israel, but dealing with Japheth and everything else and how after the flood everything broke down. But they've gone ahead. Listen, the most erroneous is how they profess to say that Egyptians, just because they were in Africa, were not black.
Mm.
And that's the confusion of what happens when after Alexander died and he broke it up with his four generals, mm-hmm. okay, and how Esau was heavy-handedly in Egypt and they populated and took over a lot. But prior to that, everybody there was black.
Right. Alexander Egypt was named after him.
It was the land of Ham. You look at ancient maps, it was the land of Ham. There were no white people or light skin or pale skin or whatever you want to say, okay, in Africa. First of all, they wouldn't be able to survive there without SPF 80. All right? So I don't know what they're talking about. But anyway, I digress because I'll go on and on and on. I don't want to give too much credence to this stuff. But Bishop's doing the debate on the with the Nation of Islam top man out of the UK who wound up like running after like 45 minutes.
I think it was embarrassing.
But he's supposed to be about the Quran and he's reading the Bible. But during that, you have our fan club on there seeking to debate with the bishop. And they're like, oh, do you know about invitations or whatever? Listen, and Bishop's answer was succinct. He gave the sense with it. And he had economy of words when he said it. He said, we don't acknowledge Esau. Whew, and that set off a firestorm. I was just there, like the memes with the popcorn. I'm just here for the comments. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? And I'm watching the comments. And this group who presumes to be so enlightened, all right, who they don't even deserve to be named credence. Not even their denomination, okay? They resorted to name-calling, talking about, I understand you're scared, blah, 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 blah.
Childish, very childish.
The Lord did not give us the spirit of fear.
Right. Very childish, childish action.
The spirit of fear, all right, scared is not jumping into Cuba, uncharted territory, and going down there to preach the word. Scared is not going to parts of Africa and Ghana, all right? Going to Trinidad to some of the most notorious hoods, mm-hmm. okay? Going to Puerto Rico to some of the hoods where the cops stop you before you go in, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
so that we can go door to door to give out flyers.
Right.
Okay. That's not the spirit of fear. That's the spirit of wisdom. And so getting back to my point and what Captain Aparin brought out, okay, Christ never preached to the other nations. Read John 18 and 20.
This is the book of John, chapter 18, verse 20. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world.
Oh, what are you talking about? Christ spake openly to the world.
Gotcha.
Understand. In the context, we've gone over this many times. World has many different. You have the sports world, the animal world,
the Arab world.
Okay, the LGBTQQQ. They got now.
Oh, they added seven more letters.
They added like a whole.
You know what, man? We got to touch on that one day because now they're adding the P for pedophilia.
Yeah, yeah. But we knew this. We prophesied.
Of course.
That when the acceptance of that happened, all the other groups were gonna say, "Hey, throw me into that." And the fact that the LGBTQ is so interested in letting all these people tack on to their movement goes to show you that it's a movement of lust, not equality, not love. But because how is pedophilia? How is bestiality? How is now they're letting buy and try in? That has nothing to do with love. That has to do with lust.
Sometimes
I want a man behind. Sometimes I want to munch carpet. Sometimes I want, you know what I'm saying? But that's lust.
That's their slogan.
That's Babylon.
That there's no, that when it comes to love, there's no such thing as gender or age.
Mm-hmm. The hell out of here.
That's what they're pushing right now.
So it says he spake openly to the world, but let Christ elaborate. Go ahead.
I ever taught in the synagogue.
He says I ever taught in the synagogue.
I indeed.
I always taught in the synagogue. Who was in the synagogue?
About to find out. And in the temple, whether the Jews always resort.
Where the Jews always resort. And if you understand your Bible, especially when you read John 4 and the confusion with the woman by the well, who was our people because she spoke about our fathers.
I was going to bring that
but,
up.
Yep. But her mindset was what? Why are you speaking to us? Meaning what? I say that to say this. Other nations were not in the temple and the synagogue.
That's right.
Christ didn't teach other nations. Read on.
And in secret have I said nothing.
He didn't say anything in secret. He said it openly ever in the synagogues. He's talking about the world of Israel. That's why it's elaborating there. The world of the Israelites. Some people are going to say, well, Paul started ministering to the Gentiles. Get me 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. I'm not even going to get too much into it. All right. Because let me show you something. Get me the one where Christ said, of my own will, I can do nothing.
John
I do 5, the will of my Father.
John 5:30.
Read this.
This is the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Paul said, be ye a follower of me, even as I also am of Christ. Meaning, he was doing Christ's ministry. Just like Christ said he's doing his Father's ministry. Get me Malachi where it says, I change not. I'm the Lord, I change not. Is that 3 and 4?
3 and 6.
The book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 30. I can't of my own self do nothing.
This is Christ. He said, of my own self, I do nothing.
As I hear, I judge.
As he hears, he judges.
And my judgment is just.
Go ahead.
Because I seek not mine own will.
His judgment is just because he doesn't seek his own will. He's guided by a higher power, even Christ. Go ahead.
But the will of the Father which has sent me.
The will of the Father which sent him. He had orders. He had directives. He said, my Father sent me. So if that's the mindset Christ was in, and Paul says, I'm a follower of Christ, now what does God say? Read that.
This is the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not.
I am the Lord, I change not. And if you understand your history, Captain Aparmo always says it, to know where you're going, you got to know where you came from, all right? Or else you're going to stumble and fall, right? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yep.
All the cliches.
They're all true, though.
All right?
They're all true.
All right? All the cliches. Right. Just like stereotypes have some truth.
Yep.
The cliches come from somewhere. God says he changes not. Christ said he does the will of his Father. Paul said, I'm doing what Christ told me to do. And if you understand the Bible from the beginning, it being for the Israelites and only the Israelites, then what is the confusion?
Right.
That's right. Plus the transfiguration, the Most High said, this is my Son, who I'm well pleased. Hear ye him.
Right. Damn. He said, I am well pleased. And if God changes not, that means Christ didn't come here to change a damn thing.
But in that transfiguration, did he mobilize there?
No.
Transfiguration?
No.
Were Edomites there?
Nope. No.
In that transfiguration?
No.
Were Syrians there in that transfiguration?
Nope. No.
Nope.
They were all Israelite men.
This is
with the exception of Abraham, because he wasn't an Israelite. Let me be clear.
This is
right. Because the nation of Israel didn't come from
he wasn't named Israel.
Right, he wasn't named Israel.
The name of Israel started with Jacob.
Right, with Jacob. But
right.
He was still the lineage, Abraham, Isaac.
This is,
not, you know why you got
right,
put out? Because,
right.
because they'll try to, we got him. Nah,
no,
you didn't get me.
No. I'm with
is,
you. I'm
no,
with you.
You didn't get me.
This is what heavy.
We know our scriptures.
Is that when the apostles saw the transfiguration, right, they said, whoa, this is a good thing that we're here to see this. Let's build all three of them. Something, right? The Most High had to intervene and say, no. As great as these men are, no, this is my son. That's who you're going to follow. The
right.
Most High had to intervene and step
yes.
in and say something.
Yes, yes. So, now that we've established that unless there's an opportunity, all right, to gain our people out of darkness, there's no need, especially when people won't stay in the book.
Right.
Because academia wants to go outside the book. Get me Isaiah 34, Nunshawan Hamein. Yep, get me that.
Yeah, bring that thing out. The scripture says, go get thee to them of the captivity.
Right.
All right. So that's the people that we go
right.
to reach.
Right.
Our people.
Everybody wants the secret sauce. Even and not it's not even just other Israelite groups. It's other Christian denominations are looking for the secret sauce.
Yep.
All right, and not even just other Christian denominations, because Islam's looking for the secret source.
After you get that, I want to bring out a scripture based on what you just said
right.
there, why all these people are clinging on to it.
Right.
I want to bring out a scripture.
Right. The secret source is keeping God's laws, statutes, and commandments in the faith of Christ as Israelites.
Oh.
Because the scripture says this is our nation in the sight, and this is our wisdom in the sight of the nations. Mm-hmm. This is what sets us apart. This is why we're able to preach so boldly for the gospel of Christ.
Cap, this is why they're so interested in us. Because they see the wisdom.
Right, right.
Because
right.
because they see
but,
the subtle genius.
But they cannot yet a subtle genius. All right? The subtle genius is the Lord's genius.
Yeah.
All glory and honor go to the Father and His Son.
That's right.
All right? Read that.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
The scripture says, God says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Now, I'll stop for a quick second because you're going to say, well, you know, I thought he brings out classes and he references history and this and that. Listen, some people need a co-signer.
That's right.
And that's okay. Many of us in our skepticism would go ahead and what? We would did research. I was skeptical when I came in. I mean, it resonated with me right away, but there was still a part of me that said, you know what? I can't. I gotta research.
I actually came into it to disprove it. Only because it went against everything I had ever learned.
Right.
So I was like, nah. Right. But then the more I tried to disprove it, the
right.
more it became credible.
Yeah, because like I've gone over this. Whatever we subscribe to, whatever belief system we have, even if there's no title for it, we've all formed our own religion in our minds.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, yeah, I like Chris Rock when he says some things he's liberal about, some things he's conservative. Most people, all right, actually are kind of like that, right? There's some things they hate, and you form your own things, and it creates your identity.
Mm-hmm.
So when your identity is attacked, your thing is to resist. What is our, just by human nature, what is our thing? Somebody tells us something, and our initial reaction is to defend.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right? Even amongst ourselves, we bring things out. Our initial reaction is not to examine and consider first, is to defend ourselves.
No.
Every single one of us.
Just last week for Hanukkah, what was the first thing you said when you gave us our gifts with the scriptures?
I said, don't
think too much into it, brothers, all right?
Just examine it. I wanted to write something personal for each of you.
Right.
And I sat there, right? I had prayed. I sat there, and I'm thinking, and these are the scriptures that came to my mind about you men. So I said, all right, listen, it don't mean, trust me, if there was something that I wanted y'all to do and correct, I would tell you.
Right.
This was just things that I identified like maybe as opportunities for us, okay? Even the whole way I did the journal and you know, us having the mindset that we're pastors, we're leaders, we're supposed to innovate and come out with different things. That was for y'all. It's nothing more than that. Trust me, if I had something to tell you, I would tell you. It's not to sit there and be like, hey, you know, what did you mean by the scripture that you put in there?
Right.
I don't know. How did you receive it?
Right. But that's going back to your point, though.
Right.
That's just human nature.
We want to defend. Sure. And that's fine. And that's okay. I expect that from everybody. But when it's protracted, right, and a brother or sister's continuing to defend, then that's a different story. Now you're not hearing. Now you're not opening to consider. All right. But anyway, I don't want to digress too far. Read this again. So we use books, all right, as reference because such a number have been done on so many of our people that a lot of them don't even like the Bible. So when you show that historically, we're not concerned about citing overly citing references. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to put out fake news. You know, we always getting on brothers. Listen, don't post an article until you vetted it. All right. Don't put stuff from The Onion up there. They're a known satire site. And they're not the only one. There's plenty. Make sure that whatever it is that you're trying to bring out a report, that you're going to be able to go ahead and make sure that it's legitimate. I mean, as much as we can in this present kingdom.
But even going into that, like, so when we use books, we're not saying that the book is more credible than the Bible. We're using the book to validate what the Bible says.
Right.
And if the book says anything incorrect, we go back to what the Bible says.
We go to
anyway.
What the Bible says. This is the term where you hear to say that some of the books have bones.
Right.
Yeah. Because the Bible is the mediator.
Exactly.
So if I come across a book or I come across the Bible, what am I going to go with?
The Bible.
The Bible. That's the difference between us and these people in academia. All right. They want to use these other sources as their primary understanding on things. Not realizing that history is written and created by the victor.
Exactly.
So whoever the ruling power is at that time is going to write the history. This is why when you think of something as recent as the transatlantic slave trade, there are no books written by slaves or very few to for their account. That history of our people, captivity, stuff with the conquistadors, is told by and large by the other nations who witnessed it.
Right.
Even the stuff that we use for Northern Kingdom is usually written by a conquistador friar or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have nothing of our own, primarily because we couldn't read and write. So we couldn't write the book.
Right.
So we it's up to us. So basically, we have to pick that apart, and we use this to pick that apart. So read this.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 34 and 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail.
None of these prophecies, nothing that's in the scripture will fail. It's telling you that those are absolute. Go ahead, read.
None shall want her mate.
Meaning you cannot pair this in that way that we just described with the Bible. This is what's not going to fail, so it has to go with this. Just like you said, if there is a discrepancy, then we go with the Bible. Read.
For my mouth it hath commanded, and my spirit it hath gathered them.
Because God's mouth commanded it, and his spirit have gathered them. All these prophecies together the way we receive them today. This is why we have the Bible the way we do today, including the Apocrypha. This is why we don't deal with other books. Yeah, it might mention Jubilees and Jashers and all that other stuff. There's no way for us to validate in this day and age. That's just people who saw an opportunity to say, let me write something, and I'll call it the Book of Enoch. I'll call it
There's
the Book of
so
Jashers. I'll call it the Book of Jubilees.
Many books mentioned in the Bible. There's so
many. Right.
But that's why Christ had to say, hold fast to what you have already.
Right. Right. So, and now get me Ecclesiastes 12, and I want to make it many books, there is no end. And then I'm going to hand it over, and if you want to segue into the confirmation of the Puerto Rico, or if you got anything else you want to say on this, then by all means, go right ahead. Okay, read that.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books, there is no end, and of much study is a weariness of the flesh.
Of making many books, there is no end. You're going to go down a dark rabbit hole, all right, of things that you're not going to be able to decipher. This is why when you read Isaiah 34, it says, seek out the book of the Lord and read, because that's going to be the thing that's going to put you in a frame of mind, okay, to be able to understand the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to bring it out for you, and it's for those that it's meant for. All right? So, yes, we're not dealing with other nations, okay? There's nothing to gain from that. All right. There's nothing to lose either. We're just ambivalent about it. There's nothing. It doesn't profit.
That man, I'm telling you, people are like scholars. I'm talking about our people, Israel, are scholars when it comes to Enoch and the Book of Jasper and things like that, but don't know one script when it comes to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
This brother told me. He said, "Hey, Ock, have you read the Book of Enoch? Because it tells you when they left Egypt that the Red Sea parted 12 ways, one for each tribe." And I was like, okay, so did it part of the 13th way for the strangers that came with us? Bro.
Yeah, which way did they go?
Who cares? So, man, I'm telling you, our people read these other books, man, and they get all bugged out over. It drives
What's
me insane.
The prophet?
Because, and the reason why that happens is because this is the spirit right here.
Right.
All right. Those are the books. They got to remember, everything has spirits.
Hey, read it real quick, John 6:63. All right.
Okay.
Because people are gonna right. say that it is the spirit.
It's the spirit.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
This is the
it's
spirit.
The spirit. This is the word right here. It's all spiritual, man. You see, y'all, people don't realize that they believe, okay, that it's all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, I always said this for years, even before the dream. The flesh is a box for our spirit, for our soul. Because when we die, our body stays here,
mm-hmm.
but our spirits go back to the Most High.
That's right.
So what does that tell you? Our bodies don't mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And to prove it don't mean nothing, that's why the scripture says we're going to go back to our original state,
mm-hmm.
okay, of how we look. Okay? Because remember, everybody was born. When you read Genesis 2 and 7, right? Was it 2 and 7?
2 and 7, yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
God made the dust of the earth.
Right? Mm-hmm. You read about that?
Okay? So everybody was of color,
mm-hmm.
different shades of brown. Okay? Okay.
This is the book of John, chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing.
I just said that. The mm-hmm. flesh profiteth nothing. Okay? The spirit that what makes us go, why we're breathing, why we're living, of course, first and foremost, is because the Most High allows that. Got plenty of scriptures on that. But that's because that's the main thing. That's the engine that mm-hmm. makes the flesh and everything move. Why can't we move our finger? It's all the spirit. Why do we act a certain way? Everything has a spirit. Trees have a spirit. Plants have a spirit. Insects have a spirit. Anything that moves and breathes has a spirit. Okay? Why? Because the Most High created all of that. Go ahead.
The words that I speak unto you, they are life.
The words that Christ, that the Most High speaks unto us is where? In this Bible.
That's right.
In this Bible. From Genesis all the way to Revelation. Christ is there from Genesis all the way to Revelation. That's why they call him the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. This is the spirit. Okay? We learned that we were Israelites and our true nationality from the Bible, not the book of Jasher, not the book of Jubilee. We learned that we're going to go back into our proper place of rulership, like the way it was always decided. It was always supposed to be when you read the Bible. From the Bible.
Get me fired up over here. And not just from the history books either. For the academics.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with academia. I fancy myself a little bit of that too. I know about the citation and writing papers and all of that.
Every
okay.
single last one of us have a book collection.
Okay. Yes. We all have book collections.
Right.
We all have different books and things
right.
like that we refer to. Ask me how many times I actually really use them. Okay. But I don't need to. The Bible and that spirit is what comes out.
Right.
But those other books are not spirit. And here's the most important part. It is the part that you said something. All those other books, all they do is, it's almost like we're just watching news. They don't say why we went into captivity, what we need
right.
to do to get out of it, how we return back to the Most High. None of those other books can give you that.
Because of those books is why you're still dumbed down.
Right.
And you still don't know your true nationality because, like the captain said,
right.
no book.
Right.
Deep
not
dummies.
Even a Quran.
Deep dummies.
Okay.
Because you know all this
I'm
stuff, but what does it do to help you change your condition and bring your people back?
This has the answers. What does the book of Jubilee, Jasher, where are the answers in that? Where is the book of Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, with all the answers? If you live your life by the book of Sirach, you will never steer yourself wrong. You will live your life the way the Most High wants you to live because this is the way.
And all Sirach really does, it makes it a little more plain of what's in the rest of the Bible, if you really think about it.
Right.
He makes the laws a little more plain to you.
I'm glad that Captain A brought up the Quran, because we saw that example during the debate.
There's no spirit in that Quran.
With Nation of Islam.
Bishop
had a simple question. All he said was, "Can't give me one scripture in the Quran that shows our nationality."
And could not do it.
And then he was...
But guess what?
Everywhere.
Guess what?
My brothers.
I
love I
didn't,
you.
Yeah, but I didn't come on here for this. No, you knew what you were coming on that radio show for.
He said.
Okay.
He said,
you
he
knew
said,
it was. You thought
said,
it was going to be an interview.
I only saw the poster, but the poster says, "Is the Quran garbage?" Question mark.
Exactly. But I could tell you what to show you the spirit. Okay.
Man.
Their Quran sure says that the Israelites will excel above all nations.
That's right.
Yep. Their Quran has many verses in it. That proved that the Israelites are God's chosen.
They don't read
many,
the Quran, okay?
Many.
They
We're not going to bring it out here for time purposes, but we have them. Trust me, you know we have them. You know Israel United in Christ has all the scriptures. We don't talk about it. We be about it. Okay? We bring proof.
Ducking. You want to bring this out, Kev? This one in Exodus?
No, because I kind of lost the thought from it. I kind of lost the thought, but unless Captain has something to go right into.
No, I mean, and all this really, this is still part of the controversy of Zion. It still touches on that.
Absolutely,
right? Because
it's still
part
of the controversy.
This is the controversy.
Right, because it's funny you say that, because I hear on the news all the time for years, the Zionists. Now with this thing with Trump, the Zionists are you don't even know what word Zion means. Zion means Israel, okay? The true Israelites. So when you say Zionists, okay, if you know the true definition of the word Zionist, that's us supposed to be doing it, right? Mm-hmm. But just goes to show you, all right, how the controversy,
right?
The controversy, the lies that they are the people of the book. Why do they need America to go ahead and announce Jerusalem the capital? Scripture says the Most High is going to put us in our land.
Exactly. That's
right.
The true Jews are going to be put in their land by the Most High. Why is America since 1941 with the Balfour Declaration? Mm-hmm. I went over that.
Yep.
How they were promised the land of Israel if they participated and funded the war, World War II.
What scripture is that, though?
Okay. See, y'all don't read, man. See, y'all so worried, okay, about debating minute stuff. Names, fringes, this, that, a third, Old Testament only, New Testament only, no, this, that, 12 gates is for everybody. That y'all don't see that there's other things involved as proof that those people in our land, it's polluted now, the land, but that's still our land, okay, were put there by the hands of America, not the Most High. Okay, the Black Messiah did not come down and say, "Here, I'm giving you this," mm-hmm. because when he come down, he gonna give you something. It ain't gonna be land, and the scripture says that in the Bible.
Can I get a script real quick?
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Give me Ezekiel 36 and verse 5.
I guess that heat being hot in here. Was a good thing when we walked in.
Sweat.
The heat got turned up on all our spirits, bro. Even Gavin Lee was like, "Yeah."
Captain brought up the point when he said that it's the Lord that's going to put us in our land, which you can read in Isaiah 14, and I'm pretty sure that it will get that as well too. But read this real quick.
This is the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 5. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy against the residue of the heathen, and against all Idumea.
Idumea is just the Greek word for Edom,
mm-hmm.
all right, which is the Caucasian race, who the world so ignorantly calls the white people. Read on.
Which have appointed my land into their possession.
Starting with what Captain said in 1941, they appointed our land into their own possession. Read on.
Who appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey.
So starting in 1941 and then into 1948 with the League of Nations, they placed themselves into that land.
That's a heavy point, because the scriptures I want to bring out.
Oh, no,
we're leading
right,
yep.
into it. We're leading right into to the main topic, man.
That's
beautiful,
right.
Beautiful.
So get me Isaiah 34, and I'm going to start at 1. Some of these verses I'll break down deeply. Some of them I won't, just because it's not really relevant to what we're trying to bring out today, okay? Start at 34 and 1.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. All
right, so this is prophetic, and it's telling you because the Lord is what's going to bring us back to the land. Mm-hmm. And when you read about the Balfour Act and the League of Nations and all that other stuff, that was not the Lord's hand was in all of that.
Right.
But that
right.
was not the Lord
right.
bringing his people back to that land.
Great. That's a great point. We're going to
okay.
Right.
Read.
Indignation of the Lord is upon all nations.
The indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. That's that residue of the heathen. All right. Go ahead.
And the Lord. And the fury.
And his fury.
And his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughterer.
Okay, read on.
Their slain also shall be cast out.
He's talking about when Christ comes to invade with his troops. Hmm. Because what they're going to do is they're going to see this, and they're going to think it's a what they call UFOs, what you see in all the movies. They're going to think it's an alien threat.
Independence Day.
And the earth needs to unite against this. The earth needs to unite against it.
Today the earth stood still.
Today the earth stood still. Right. Go ahead, read.
And their stink shall come up out of their carcasses.
And it says their stink is going to come up out of their carcasses because that's how many slain they're going to be. Go ahead.
Stink, bro.
Yep.
And the mountains shall be melted with their blood.
Because their blood is going to be heated by thermonuclear destruction and is going to melt the mountains. Go ahead.
And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll.
Now you have to understand, when this was written, they didn't know about physics,
right.
Atomic theory and all that other stuff like that, hydrogen bombs, atomic bombs, all of that stuff. They didn't know about all that, okay? So they had to describe it from a reference of what they were able to use in that day to describe these things. When you look at videos of these nuclear explosions, you get the mushroom cloud, and it looks like a scroll that rolls together, all right? So he's saying, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, because you see this too. You actually saw it. I'm going to bring it to it for a more recent movie. You saw it in Batman versus Superman when Superman takes Doomsday up into the atmosphere, and the nuke is coming up, and he turns the nuke on him, and Batman's in the bat thing, and when he looks up to the sky, he goes, oh, God, and you see fire and everything in the sky. The whole thing lights up because it got lit up in space, but the whole sky was jacked up. This is what it's talking about when it says the host of heaven shall be dissolved. It's going to be on fire. You're going to see all this. It's going to be like, whoa. The Matrix, how that you had the cloud and stuff and you couldn't see the sun. All right, go ahead.
And all of their hosts shall fall down.
Read the top of verse 4 again.
And all the hosts of the heaven shall be dissolved.
Go ahead.
And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll.
That's a mushroom cloud. Go ahead.
And all their hosts shall fall down.
It says all their hosts shall fall down. Go ahead.
As the leaf falleth from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree.
Go ahead.
For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judge me.
It says it shall come upon Idumea. Because let me tell you why this is heavy and why this is important. All right. And Idumea being the Greek word for Edom. Because you will have somebody crafty that says when the United States dropped a nuke on Japan during World War II, that's what this was explaining. No. You're right. It's nuclear destruction. But this is why you can't isolate verses. You have to read on. Because he says his sword shall come down upon Idumea. It came down upon who? Ammon.
Ammon.
Yep.
The bomb was not dropped on the Germans, who are also Esau, okay?
Right.
It was not dropped on them. It was not dropped on Edom, Idumea. It was dropped on Ammon.
And it could have.
So
and
you
it,
cannot
could,
use this right. as the example to say, well, this was the actions that made the League of Nations set up and give this land.
Right, right. And it could have dropped on the Germans, right? Because it was the same war. Yeah.
Right.
It was the same war. Why didn't they do that? They could have done that.
No, they'll tell you what, I was going to be next, but then Germany stopped after that. No. Then that's not prophecy.
No, they were getting their ass whooped.
Right.
Okay,
but
against the Germans.
But it's not prophecy then. Because the prophecy says the sword has to come down upon Idumea.
Right.
It says this must come down upon Idumea and all nations that are in league with them. Because notice he starts with all nations, but now he's calling out Idumea. Don't get it twisted.
The one the Hebrew, the Bible dictionary says no promise of salvation.
Oh, you in the spirit? Because read the next line. It says it's going to come down upon Idumea. Read the next line
the
of the verse.
The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made.
No, five. You didn't finish five. You did not finish five. Stay with me.
Idumea, and upon the people of my curse.
Upon the people of the curse. The people of, and upon my people, and upon the people of my curse. This is what he's talking about, that there was no promise of salvation for them. This isn't talking about the curses. He says the people, not of my people, of the curse. So listen, you have to be succinct and give the sense. Edom had no promise of salvation. He says, it shall come down upon Idumea, which is the Greek word for Edom, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. This is when that fugitive will finally get judgment.
Right, because he's on the run right now still. He's still on the run.
He is still on the run.
He's still a vagabond. Why is he a vagabond? Vagabond has no home. They take their home, okay, by force, which was the prophecy,
right?
Okay, in Genesis,
right?
Okay, that they would by the sword is how they would live. That's how they have no home. They're vagabonds. Vagabond, you're a bum. Vagabond means you're a bum.
Okay. That's right.
Read.
The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness.
I thought God was coming and Christ was coming to hug everybody. Mm-hmm. Little pictures with all the other nations coming and caressing. It says the sword of the Lord is filled
with
blood.
Sheep, little sheep.
You read where it says he's gonna plead with all nations. And people take that word plead and they think that means that he's going to sit down and have a conversation and beg. Don't do this to my people. Are you kidding me? the Most High, the one above all, is going to go ahead and plead with his creation? That's like parents that freaking plead with their kids instead of, yo, you're the damn parents.
Right. Scripture in Exodus says he's a man of war. Scripture in Malachi says he's God, he changes not. He ain't changing
right
in the New Testament. Right. He ain't changing in the so-called rapture for you Christians.
Right.
No, he's a man of war. He's just sharpening that sword right now.
Right.
Man.
And
he's
understand
sharpening
all this that we're reading because it leads into, okay, it leads into, I'm going to read, after this, I want to read Isaiah 35, 1 through 10, because it's going to show you that all of this needs to happen this way so that the Lord can bring his true people back to Israel. All right. And then you can also bring 14 if you want, Isaiah 14 if you want right as well. All right. Read on.
And with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord hath sacrificed.
Have they
sacrificed in Bozrah. In a great slaughter in the land of Idumea.
A great slaughter.
The land of Idumea.
It has to be a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. He is calling you out, Esau, Edom.
Who the world ignorantly calls
the white man. Caucasian.
And then mine precepts it with Isaiah 63.
Okay. Yes. All right. You know what? Let's get it real quick. Hold this. Let's get it.
Well, he's
right
getting
that.
Call in number is 516-531-9797. Call in number 516-531-9797. Feel free to give us a call.
And one thing we didn't – I put it in the description, but we didn't mention. And the reason we're talking about this is because Trump this week, it's a big deal in world news. He declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Notice – for people who think that Babylon the Great is not America,
right,
Jerusalem didn't declare Jerusalem the capital of Israel.
Exactly.
The president of the United States of America, which is spiritually Sodom and Egypt, which is Babylon the Great, tell me that's not a great whore that sitteth on many waters.
Right. They call him the leader of the free world.
He right said, yo, and why do you think everybody's up in arms? Because what you say, right, in the sight of men, they believe that he is God, mm-hmm, because what America says, everybody's going to roll with.
That's right.
Everybody's going to roll with.
Ooh, man. Them
yo, America's like the Yankees when they were in their heyday.
Oh, yeah,
they respect the power, but everybody hates them.
Yeah. Right.
All right? Deep down on the low, everybody hates them.
Well, they're
right
hating them now with this. There's a
right
lot. We're going
right
to bring it out. A lot
right
of nations are
right
against Trump's
right
move.
Right.
I was just watching the news clip on YouTube. Well, four Edomites. Well, like, this is crazy what this dude is doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they're saying it's going to make it harder for peace and everything like that. Like, it's going to be jacked up. All right, go ahead, read on.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that. This
it says, where are you? Oh, you read, okay, yeah, read that. Isaiah 63. I'm sorry. I forgot. I thought we were back in Isaiah 63.
So this is the future prophecy of when the Lord returns, okay? So when he says, who is this that cometh from Edom? Again, okay, Edom is Idumea. They're the same people. But this is talking about the return of the Lord and what's going to happen when he comes. Read.
With dyed garments from Bozrah. This that is glorious in his apparel, travailing in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save.
Because it's the Lord that's going to bring salvation to his people, all right? He's going to return with his glorious garment. Read on.
Wherefore art thou red wherefore are they red in thine apparel?
So now Isaiah asks him a question. Why is your glorious garment look like it's been dipped in red? Read on.
And thine garment like him that treadeth the wine fat.
That look like he treaded in the wine fat. Why do you look like you've been stomping on grapes, Lord? Mm. Read.
Mm.
I have trodden the wine press alone.
I did it all by myself. I told my children to stand back, all right, and then I'm going to give you the rest when I'm done, releasing my fierceness and my anger. Read on.
And of the people, there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury.
No, I'm going to come back holding lambs and giving hugs and kisses.
For I will tread them in mine anger.
Because Christ is coming back pissed off to redeem his people. Read on.
And trample them in my fury. their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will slay remnant.
And I will stain all my raiment.
Yeah, and I will stain all my raiment.
His glorious garments can look like it was in the winepress from trotting these nations, chiefly starting with the nation of Edom. Read on.
For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeem is come.
That's why we got to hold fast until the very, very end.
This is sweet music.
Bro,
this is like, are you kidding me?
And then whoever doesn't want this for their people, you are just an awful ruckus house Negro.
Right. Yeah, we spoke about Uncle Ruckus last week, too.
So you were destroyed.
Uncle Ruckus. Exactly.
Bro.
Exactly. Ooh, so you said something. Go back to Isaiah. You done?
Yes.
Go back to Isaiah 34. All right. I want you to start at verse 7 because he said something. He said, the Lord said, I'm going to do this myself. But then whatever's left over, now you're going to get your glory.
Right.
And there's another scripture that talks about his vengeance is going to come. So, you know, that means those of us, because there's even some of us who are repenting now, that's not in our spirits now to
right.
do those type of things.
Right.
To give back double what they did to us. What they did to us was horrendous enough, but to us to give back double. We want to do it, but to physically do it, it's going to take a change in us.
That's right.
All
right?
It's going to take a change in our mind to commit to that level of something. Right? So he says, we're going to go in and do the cleanup. Read verse 7.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 7.
Right. So this is after verse 6 when he's saying all the blood and everything. So the first part of what we read so far is Christ and all the host of angels coming in and doing their thing with the nukes. All right? And with his destruction, he's going to come down and jack this up. Kind of like the way in Justice League, Steppenwolf came out. Like they show you that one scene and he's just one swath of his freaking axe and he's just like swapping everybody away. All right? Go ahead.
And the unicorn shall come down with them. And the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood.
Now, you know the unicorn, all right, is referring to Ephraim, okay, mm-hmm. the bullocks. There's another scripture where it says Judah's going to be bent into a bow,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to fill it with Ephraim,
mm-hmm.
okay, and fire it off.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part where he's saying now they're going to come in, okay, and that's that part where we're going to come in and we're going to get that honor to do the residue and
Correct.
To kill the residue. The unicorns and the bullocks are going to come down. I have a little thing. It says unicorns, rhinoceros, all right?
Yep.
And it says the land shall be soaked with blood. It says drunken with blood. There's a term that they use in war called bloodlust. That's what I'm saying. Something's going to change in us so that we could go ahead, all right, and do what we need to do. Dash their babies against the rock
right.
like they did to us.
And I'm glad you said that, Cap, because we have to be changed. Anyone that says that they could take some babies and dash them against rocks right now, then you need to check yourself.
You need to check yourself. All right. The Lord didn't give us that spirit yet.
Right.
The
exactly.
Lord, we want exactly. vengeance. It's in our heart to want vengeance and do all that. And this is sweet music when you hear it. But the Lord did not give us that spirit yet. All right. Read the next line in that verse.
And the land shall be soaked with blood.
Uh-huh.
And their dust made fat with fatness.
And their dust made fat with fatness. It's saying dust. This is how you know it's nukes. All the descriptions, because that's all that's going to be left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you ever watch any movies or you hear about people that were in war with swords and after a while, I mean, what you think about it, if you're cutting through people and slicing them up, that's blood, that's fat and everything, right? It's hot because the nukes went just off. That stuff is going to be all, so all that's going to be dripping. All, so it's saying there's going to be dust from what Christ came down and did, the initial blood that he did, and then the Israelites are going to go down there and wipe the rest of that thing up, all right? Because it has to be done, because that's what was done to us, all right? Read on.
For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance.
It is the day of the Lord's vengeance, mm-hmm. and we will be his vessels to do that. It is not, brothers, make no mistake about it. It is not for us in these times to do that thing. The scripture tells us in these times to live peaceably with all men.
That's right.
All right? I want to be very clear about that. Mm-hmm. It tells us to obey the powers that be. If you are professing and running around walking as an Israelite, it is not for you to be out there. We had a brother that was trying to stab Edomites in the street.
Yep.
Guess where he is now? I don't know. Not with us, though. I could tell you that much.
I seen him the other
day. We don't stand for stuff like that. We don't stand for stuff like that.
Scripture says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, be at peace with all men.
Yeah, so it's not saying don't defend yourself if something goes down. That's right. Why it says if it be possible, all right? But we are to be at peace All right? And we are to obey the powers that be because God put these powers up.
And that's how that's what we do.
Because some people will try to isolate everything. We just said, look, they want to freaking be violent and this
no,
and that.
Absolutely
we're,
not.
We're black identity extremists.
Absolutely not.
Which is a misnomer because the 12 tribes are a speckled bird, okay? And we are not extremist, all right? Our message is that of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
okay?
The same Bible and that they read.
The same Bible that they read. This is in the same Bible that they read, and we are not acting upon this. This is why it says this is the Lord's vengeance, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. Nobody better take this to me and go out and start beating up the other nations, start trying to take it, because you're going to get locked up.
That's right.
And listen, if they come to us and they ask for information and stuff like that, trust me, we're going to cooperate because the Lord says to deal with that stuff.
Right. Our actions are to wake our people up. That's what our spiritual battle is.
All right? Against principalities.
Waking
and
our people up to their true nationality and showing them that once you know who you are, brother and sister, okay, black, Hispanic, Native American, now you must live your life like an Israelite man and woman and follow the law, statutes, and commandments. That's all Christ taught.
And live peaceably with all men and
that's
obey
it.
The powers that be.
That's it. So you ain't never going to get us going out there and trying to go ahead and revolt. No, no, no.
Right.
Repentance is the revolution, like the bishop always said.
Right.
Okay, that's physical, but not from the perspective of going out there and doing bodily harm to anybody.
That's why I
said that ain't going to happen in Israel United
Repentance
Christ.
Is revolutionary and not for the weak,
mm-hmm.
because that's harder. That's harder to contain that.
Right.
To
anybody
have that
can
long
throw
suffering.
A punch. Anybody can stab. Anybody could pull a trigger. Let's face it. For you older brothers, man, there was a time when you went toe to toe. None of this thing coming out with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's cowardly. But anybody can do any of those things. But can people keep these laws?
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's the hard part. So read the top of verse 8 again.
For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance.
Everything we just read, that's the day of the Lord's vengeance. Go ahead.
And the year of recompense.
And the year of recompense. Time of revenge. Go ahead.
For the controversy of Zion.
For the controversy of Zion. For this Balfour Act.
Mm-hmm.
For the League of Nations. For the United Nations setting this thing up. For Trump sitting down and declaring that Jerusalem is the capital,
right.
All right? And listen, it's not for us because other people that are bugged out about it is because they're like, oh, because of what they did to the Palestinians and they kicked them out or whatever.
Right, right.
And, you know, the Palestinians, you know, Ishmael has a little more promise. They're still going to be in subjection to us. But they got a little mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we read Idumea is the people of God's curse. For judgment, all right? They're going to get judgment, too. This chapter starts with all the nations. But, you know, they're going to be a little more all right than the rest of them.
Right, right. And we understand, too, when you read 2 Ezra, all right, Trump doing this is just helping that prophecy be fulfilled about, because now the Arabs are going to be pissed the hell off.
Hey,
so
I said it before.
Wait.
What do you mean, gonna? Israel just already struck Gaza with missiles.
Oh, wow.
Just a news alert.
I love Trump. You know why?
I'm saying,
because God set him up.
Hey, four more,
right? Because God set him up. God set him up.
Exactly.
I love Trump.
Second Ezra says that the Arabs are going to remember their nature, and this is going to be the catalyst to have that start coming.
Right,
them.
Right, right. So this is the controversy that's going on in Zion. Now, real quick, do you have anything you want to add to this piece? Because I want to go the return to Zion. Okay, so try to go a little fast. I'm not going to break it down too much. Go to Isaiah 35. Start at 1. I want to go down to 10.
Isaiah chapter 35 verse 1, the wilderness and all and the solitary. I'm sorry, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose.
Because right now there is no peace, so everybody's concerned that it's going to make peace a hindrance in peace in the Middle East. First of all, that's a misnomer because it's not really the Middle East. Okay,
right.
But peace. In that area of the world, okay, peace in the Palestinian area of the world, okay, that's not going to happen until God does his revenge, like said here, until his people are returned. So it's telling you now, once that happens and he starts to bring us back there, it says the wilderness and solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Hold this. Give me Romans 8:19. Actually, you stay there. Can you get Romans 8:19 real quick? Because this is giving some detail of what this scripture is speaking about.
The book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature.
The earnest expectation. When something is an earnest, that means it's chief. It's the priority. The earnest expectation of the creature, of all the wilderness and all of that. Go ahead.
waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Their earnest expectation waiteth of the creature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's telling you that the sons of God are not manifested in Israel. This is the controversy. It is not those imposters. It is not them. All right? Give me Revelations 2 and 9.
The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 9.
That's heavy what that scripture says right there. Or you went there. Because it says sons of God, right?
Yes.
This is why people are so confused, okay? Because the sons of God are mentioned in Genesis.
Yes, right.
As being God's chosen.
No, everybody thinks that that's the angels.
Right.
They're retarded.
And that the angels came down and had sex with humans, and you got Nephilim.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right, so the Most High is all out of order, and he's okay with adultery and everything.
No.
Yeah, okay, you're ridiculous. But I'm just saying that's
right.
In there.
Right.
In the New Testament.
The earnest expectation of the creature awaiteth the manifestation of the sons of God.
You got the animals looking at Judahites with blonde hair like, damn.
Yes.
We ain't ready.
Right. Damn. Right. They seeing all that, and they like, damn. That's why you go to the zoo, man. The animal's like, yo, can you repent?
Right.
Yeah, they're tired of being there.
Read Revelation 2 and 9.
The book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. But thou art rich.
He's talking about the Israelites. I know your works. I know the tribulation that you're under. Why? Because I brought them on you for being wicked as hell. All right? And poverty, but you're rich. Not in gold, not in wealth, but in what awaits you. Because the promise is for us. The adoption of sons is for us, you so-called native black.
The earth and the whole universe.
All right? It tells you in the book of 2nd Ezra that the whole earth was created for us.
That's right.
All right? It says we all come from Adam. But we are the chosen of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, read on.
And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not.
This is the controversy in Zion. He says, I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and they're not. That they set themselves up as if they are God. They sit in the mounts of the congregation pretending to be us. Go ahead.
But are the synagogue of Satan.
He says they are the synagogue of Satan. They are Satan's disciples. All right, get Revelation 3:9.
The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan.
Those fake Jews that are over there in Israel and all over, but primarily there. Go ahead.
Which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee.
This is the judgment. That's what's going to go on. So now go back to Isaiah 35 and read verse 1 again. And like I said, kind of read, you could flow a little bit. Go ahead.
Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them.
For the sons of God. Go ahead.
And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose.
Things are going to come forth in the earth like they've not come forth because they're going to be in bliss. And it means that everything in nature right now is holding back its true beauty. Because these other nations don't deserve it. Go ahead.
It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God.
Because it's going to be, after all the mountains are melted, after all the destruction that we read, when God brings us back there, it's going to be beautiful. This is another thing that shows you there is no peace there. Mm-hmm. If it was God's hand that put these people there, then they would be in bliss because this is what the Bible says.
So that place is trash right
and
now.
And it's
man.
Not going on like that now. Read.
Strengthen ye the weak hands. And confirm the feeble knee.
You so-called blacks and Hispanics who don't want to repent, this is why we say it's not for the weak. Repentance is revolutionary, not for the weak. It says, listen, strengthen your weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Stand up manfully. Gird up thy loins and keep these laws, statutes, and commandments in the faith of Christ. Because this is the promise of the salvation. Like you read in Luke 1:68, to save us from our enemies. Go ahead.
Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance.
Man, that's the vengeance that we read. He says, don't worry. Mm-hmm. I got you. Do what I tell you and I got you.
Right.
Go ahead.
Even God with a recompense. He will come and save you.
He will come and save you. Not the League of Nations, not the United Nations pushing all this, not Trump and his declarations mm-hmm. of what this place is and isn't. Mm-hmm. All right? He will come and save you. God, go ahead.
Eyes of the blind shall be opened.
And then in that day, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. the blind of our people will see. Go ahead.
And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped.
So don't worry. Don't worry. Knowledge, true knowledge will go forth through the earth. Go ahead.
Then shall the lame man leap up as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert.
Is that going on there now? No. It is jacked up. Yeah, they're going to tell you, oh, there's some beautiful parts. Not the way this is talking about. Not what's going to happen here. All right? Go ahead, read on.
And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land shall spring off waters.
And the thirsty land springs of water. Go ahead.
In the habitations of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes.
Now, remember, they call that area the Middle East. You have the Palestinians and everything there. When you read in the Apocrypha, it talks about the dragons of Arabia. So he's saying the land of dragons, meaning Ishmael, because he's a wild man, is telling you that region. It says, listen, in that land that is so volatile now that there's so much violence and jihadists and all types of stuff like that, I'm talking about that land. He says, in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. It's not going to be that barren desert. Go ahead.
And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness.
This is that highway, like you read of in Isaiah 66, where the gates will be open so that they can continue. There's going to be a straight road. That's the yellow brick road that it talks about in Wizard of Oz, all right? It's going to take you straight up in there. Go ahead.
The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wavering men.
The wayfaring men.
The wayfaring men. Through fools, though fools shall not err with therein.
Now fools shall not err therein. Everybody's going to be under that rod, okay? Or pain of death. Even the other nations, they'll be keeping the laws. Nobody's going to come into our city, into the true Jerusalem, and not be in the right spirit. Go ahead.
No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon.
The lion's not going to go ahead, and that the wild animals aren't going to attack us no more. That's the earnest expectation of the creature, read.
It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there.
But the redeemed shall walk in that place. The redeemed are not walking there now because this place is not like that now. This is the controversy in Zion. Go ahead.
And the ransomed of the Lord.
That is us. You read in Joel 3, it talks about we were sold for a harlot and all of that. The ransomed of the Lord, go ahead.
Shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
No more sorrow and sighing, all right? We're going to sing songs of gladness, not to coon and entertain the Esau and the other nations, okay? Like some of our brothers and sisters that are famous now, but songs of righteousness, mm-hmm. songs of joy and glory. No more depression. Oh, I suffer from depression. I'm so depressed. No, because the earn and everything's going to rejoice. Bro, it's like a fairy tale. The birds are going to be flying on us and be right. Like, we're going to be there. Like at the, what is it, that supposed St. Francis of Assisi, they got him with the birds and mm-hmm. stuff like this. That's going to be us. That's the blessing. The land is not like that now.
Right. I'm glad that you used the word ransom, because it's just like if you have someone that goes in to rob a bank, right? And then things go wrong, so now they're holding all the hostages for ransom, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the cops come and then they do their due diligence in getting everybody out, they're bringing salvation to those that were ransomed.
Right.
They're not bringing the same deliverance to those that were holding them captive.
That's good. I like that analogy. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, I want to make sure we have time to talk about the Puerto Rico thing. I'm going to say my closing thoughts on this. And if you guys had anything else on the Zion piece.
Stuff on it.
All right. But for me, listen, don't worry. All right. You got the controversy of Zion. You got Jerusalem. Don't worry, brothers and sisters. Remember, the today's topic is the controversy of Zion and what it means for the Israelites today.
Right.
Don't worry. It's going to be all right. So strengthen the weak hands and firm up them feeble knees. Keep the law, statutes, and commandments in the faith of Christ, because repentance is revolutionary and not for the weak. Go ahead, Kevin.
All right, so give me Zechariah 9 and 6. All right, still along the same vein of the controversy in Israel, all right? And more proof that the people that are living in our land now are not the true Jews. I mean, those were headbangers, just the ones in Revelation that the captain brought out. But we got to stick the dagger deep. We got to stick it in and then twist it.
Why?
Okay, stick it in and twist it. All right. So let's start with Zechariah 9:6.
That's a real Ephraim reference.
Mm-hmm. This is the book of Zechariah, chapter 9:6. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod.
Right.
That's good.
And
okay.
I will. I'm
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
And I will cut off the pride of the Philistines.
All right. So it says a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod. For those of you that don't know, okay, Ashdod is the biblical name for modern day Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, they're changing it from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but we'll leave that there. Just I'll let y'all ponder on it. A bastard is someone that has no father. The Most High God is not their father. He is our father, you blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans. Okay.
Right.
All over the Bible, it's saying that it's calling them the imposters. Okay. So it says a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod. They're dwelling right now in our land. A fake a nation that's not loved by the Most High God is dwelling in our land. From there, give me Joel 3. Okay. And let's start at 2.
This is the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat.
The valley of Jehoshaphat is also called Megiddo. And also, Jehoshaphat means valley of destruction. Okay, Megiddo, Jehoshaphat, that's where everything's going to set off. Bishop has gone over this before in class. That's where everything is brewing right now. And this is just adding more flame to the fire right now with Trump's decision to make Jerusalem the capital. I mentioned earlier, I just saw an article today. Israel just did airstrikes on Gaza. They're going crazy. People are upset with this whole move. All right, all praises. Go ahead.
And we'll plead with them there for my people.
So the Most High God is going to plead with them, meaning he's going to go ahead and destroy all these nations coming together. That's a melting pot right there. You got to, this Most High is a mastermind because he has Syria, Iran, Russia, China, Cuba, right, because they're communists, so that's why I put them in there, okay, and North Korea all aligned with them. They all overlap each other. So if anything goes off, the Most High set this up lovely. For Isaiah 46 and 10, declaring the end from the beginning. He set it up where if anybody goes off there, there's so much overlap that you're going to have to fight each other. Missiles are going to go where they're not supposed to go, even if they weren't intended for that. Okay, that's you talk about, remember the game, the board game Stratego?
Yeah.
The Most High played Stratego, man, where he created everything, man. Go ahead.
That's a good game.
Yeah, very good game. Go ahead.
And we'll plead with them there for my people.
So he's going to plead with them there for who?
My people.
So if he's going to plead, if those are the people of the book, why is he going to plead with them for their people? Think about that. Go ahead. For his people. Go ahead.
And for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations.
They have scattered among the nations. Plenty of scriptures. Deuteronomy 28:64. Okay, is a big one that we always bring out that we're scattered. James 1:1. The scattered abroad to the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, go ahead.
And parted my land.
And did what?
And parted my land.
Parted his land. What's the Most High's land?
Israel.
This book was written thousands of years ago. It was already prophesied that there was going to be split and division in the land of Israel, our land, the Most High's land. Palestinians, they're fighting right now over that land for years, since I can remember.
That's right.
Okay? From there, let's go down to 6.
Verse 6. The children also of Judah. And the children of Jerusalem.
When it says Judah, talk about the southern kingdom, and Jerusalem, talk about the northern kingdom. Okay, the remnant of the 10 tribes. Go ahead.
Have you sold unto the Grecians?
Grecians, have you sold unto the Edomites, who the world ignorantly calls the white man, the Grecians. Okay, go ahead.
That ye might remove them far from their border.
Far from what border? The border of Israel, our true land. That was always their whole purpose, but it was really all orchestrated by the Most High. The Most High is the puppet master. He's just moving all the chess pieces. Okay, go ahead.
Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold
them. Behold, when the black Messiah Christ returns, he is going to raise us out of all the lands that we're in, because the scripture said we will be scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. He's going to take us out of all those places. Go ahead.
And will return your recompense upon your own head.
They're going to, the Most High is going to make sure that the black Messiah comes with the angels and the chariots, who are the world England we call UFOs. Okay, and destroy all of those that have did wrong to the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, who are the Israelites. Go ahead.
And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hands of the children of Judah.
They're going to come. Everything that they did to us, slavery, all of that, it's going to come right back into our hands. Go ahead.
And they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it.
Jump down to 17.
Verse 17.
Why is the Most High going to do all of this?
So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God,
dwelling in Zion.
He's doing this to let us know, you blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, that he is the Lord our God, and let all the other nations know who they know already for the most part. Okay, they know, which is why they continue to try to keep us in sin. Go ahead.
My holy mountain. Then shall
he calls us his holy mountain. Okay, we're the highest of the highest above all nations, like it says in the book in the book of Ezra, First Ezra, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Then shall Jerusalem be holy.
Then shall Jerusalem be holy. So why do they call it the Holy Land now? Has any of this stuff happened?
No.
No. They didn't get Israel or Jerusalem by fighting, right? It was given to them, mm-hmm, starting back in 1941 and established in 1948 by the League of Nations.
That's right.
Okay? So it says, then shall Jerusalem. When the Most High sends his son, the black Messiah, back to plead for us, all right, to give us the justice that we deserve for the maltreatment and all the atrocities that have been done against our people, then is Jerusalem going to be holy. Go ahead.
And there shall no strangers pass through her anymore.
So what is that telling you? Just like we read in Zechariah 9 and 6, the bastards that are dwelling in Ashdod right now, they're the strangers.
Exactly.
They shall not dwell there in that land anymore. Selah.
I heard you from outside, bro. You on fire. Cooking with gas, bro. Cooking with gas. Oh, praise.
Bring it out.
That's the controversy in Zion. I mean, there's a lot more scriptures that we can go over with.
Oh,
that
man,
stuff,
please.
Like that, you know?
Just for time purposes.
Right. So, do you want to touch on the confirmed? Because we were talking about Puerto Rico for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We spoke about it last week with Bishop. And I guess you have some new data.
Yeah, so we got new data from our boots on the ground. Okay, Israel United in Christ, Puerto Rico, all praises, you know, and was sent to me this week, articles confirming that they have hit 1,000 dead as a result of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico.
1,000?
1,000. So much for the 15-16 that Trump was glorifying, right? Sorry, buddy, I think you spoke too prematurely.
Yep, so I'll read the article here. That says, en casi mil las muertas tras María. So it's saying close to 1,000 people are confirmed dead as a result of Hurricane Maria. And it's saying this is official data from the Democratic Registry. So remember when we first did this, I think 2-3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm,
we were talking about how this registry, the Democratic Registry, the Department of Public Safety, they were saying no. Mm-hmm. CNN did this thing. They started enlisting the help of funeral homes and different stuff like that. So now what we have here, I'll just read kind of the first part of this. The article starts, it's in Spanish. I'll translate it to English. It says, it's official. In the first 40 days of the emergency caused by Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, at least 985 additional people died compared to the same period in 2016. So remember we gave the stat?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was like 4-something, and we were saying like
year
over year, so it doesn't make sense, right? Like people wouldn't just start dying like that unless something crazy happened.
Right.
And the crazy that happened is that the Lord visited the island with what they call Hurricane Maria.
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying the official count is now at least 985. That means that they're still tallying. It's still going up.
Mm-hmm. And it's still going to continue to go up.
So does that qualify as a real disaster? Can somebody write the president's office and see if that qualifies as a real disaster?
I don't even think 1,000 died in Pearl Harbor, yet they still remember that
name. I'm curious now. How many
look it up. But they still, right? Matter of fact, December 7th, right?
Yeah.
I heard it on the news out here in Arizona.
Hey,
okay, they were remembering, right? 9/11 every year.
Yeah.
So mind you, I don't know how they get all these statistics, right? But it says 2,403 died.
Okay.
Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
All right. But they allowed for estimation in these things.
Right.
All of a sudden, because it's Puerto Rico, you know why, right? They're trying to defend his foolishness. Listen,
right.
I'm on record as saying I love Trump. Not that I'm Republican or that I voted him because I don't vote. I love Trump because God wanted him there. And he's doing things. We're living in prophetic times. He's doing things and lining things up. Just like the Bible has in store.
Hey.
So I'm happy for that.
He's the vessel that the Most High.
But, dude, that dude talks out his behind.
I love it.
He's an idiot.
speaking of death toll, real quick, I don't think 1,000 even died in the Holocaust.
Well, you can get people mad. You get the calling number is 516-531-9797.
Oh, the lines are blowing up.
Oh, man.
Listen, we say that just briefly because it's been proven it's not physically possible.
There's not enough time. Like,
not
no
enough
way.
Time and not physically possible. In order to gas all those 6 million,
yeah.
That means even the Germans that were doing it would have died from it too, just from the residual
right.
from the gas.
Right.
There's been many studies done on that. But if you also, there's another a documentary. It's about 6 hours long. It's about Hitler. And it covers all that. It covers all those facts. It covers all those facts that it wasn't nowhere near. Okay? They say it may not have even been a million.
Hey, let me read a quick excerpt here because
they still don't fit the card, even though
I put that up about the Holocaust. Right, we got like 4 minutes left. It says calculating the numbers of individuals who were killed as a result of Nazi war is a difficult task. There's no single wartime document created by Nazi officials that spells out how many people were killed in the Holocaust or World War II. So first of all, any number that's given is an estimate
mm-hmm.
and like a belt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
That's what that first thing is really saying. I'm translating, even though it's. Translating.
Mm-hmm.
It says to accurately estimate the extent of human losses, scholars, Jewish organizations, I think that's a little biased, and governmental agencies since the 1940s have relied on records such as census reports, captured access archives, and post-war investigations to compile these statistics. As more documents collide or scholars arrive at a more precise understanding of the Holocaust, estimates of human losses may change. Mm-hmm. They didn't say go up. They said they change. So watch some new number come out, and because was it Farrakhan was the first one that really went on record and said that's BS.
Yeah, it
really
him.
Didn't go down like that.
I think it was him.
All right.
Well, Ahmadinejad, he's a big. That never even happened.
Listen,
he takes it to the extreme.
Listen, this is the point here for people who vehemently defend 6 million or whatever it is that they say.
Right.
The single most important thing to keep in mind when attempting to document numbers of victims of the Holocaust. Is that no one master list of those who perished exists anywhere in the world.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So it says, oh, so now it says up to 6 million.
Oh, so now it's up to.
Up to 6 million.
That's still, but let's give them 6 million. Let's give them that. We always say, right? Let's give them 10 million.
It's not even a 10.
Heck, let's give them 20 million.
Right.
Can't compare to the half a billion.
Yeah, when you combine all the tribes and the travesties that they've done.
And even with us, that number still must be higher. That's
yeah, because it's the same thing. There's
okay.
No, there's no,
but let's take it even further. Even if it was 50 million,
mm-hmm.
they still know who they are. There's no bigger crime, no bigger murder you can do than to murder the existence
right.
of a people,
and,
God's
and,
chosen people.
And they did it to themselves.
It was Esau against Esau.
Right.
That's extinction.
That's extinction.
They try to make us extinct.
They try to.
Yeah, they try to say genocide over there. No,
we
no.
baby's kids. We don't die. We multiply.
Right. Exactly. Right. Well, it happened in
They're
Egypt.
Everywhere.
Exactly.
It
everywhere.
Happened in Egypt. Okay?
Yeah.
But the killer of all is that we don't know who we are. That's worse than any murder, any physical murder you could do.
It really is, man. But that's like having amnesia. And that's
yeah.
the confusion of faces
amnesia,
in Daniel 9, and that's what we
it.
Have, you know? And that's why it's like, you know, that's why sometimes we out there, we're teaching people who they are, and they can't see it because they have amnesia. And somebody told them who they were.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing, man. Y'all need to wake up, man. The truth is out there, and the time is right now, man. Who
yeah.
you really are, you blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, man.
Yeah.
We're the Israelites. We're brothers. We're family.
That's right.
We're sisters.
That's right.
All right.
So we got a minute left. Everyone's cooking with gas today, man.
That's crazy.
But I'm telling you, I think the heat. I'm gonna turn the heat up all the time now when we come in. You know, we'll turn it down before we start.
All praises to the Most High. There's a lot going on, man. A lot of prophecy.
It really is. It really is. All praises to the Most High. And like you said, hey, like you know, I was coming into the show and I was like, you know, I don't really know what to talk about. He threw out some ideas, and you know, but I didn't have any of this planned. The Spirit just took me there.
And we still got
Puerto Rico in.
those make for the best shows, though.
Hey, but you know what? Even if there's anything that we miss, we can talk about it next week. it ain't never going to go to waste. But I got stuff from when we started the show that I haven't spoken about.
That is still relevant.
Yeah, I haven't got to it. Like,
right.
I had to stop. I haven't got back to it. All right, so this is the Native Latin and Black Laws History Show. Hope you enjoyed the show. Check us out on our blog talk, radio.com/IUIC Phoenix. It uploads as a podcast. Spread the word. Check us out on our Facebook page. Spread the word. All right. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.